the Financial Sense Lifetime Planning Program. Here's your host, Jim Poplava.
Well, given all the events of 2020, I think I'm going to start a company with a t-shirt. I survived 2020. But today we're going to talk about one particular asset, and that's real estate. Joining me on the program is Kathy Fetke. Kathy, let's talk about real estate. You and I were talking just before we went on the air. I was telling you about a friend of mine who made a bid on a townhouse. There were three bids. He came in with cash, full price. He got it, then turned around, put his condo for sale, sold it within 2 weeks with a couple offers. So I wonder if you might explain what's going on. Is this just a California thing, or is this type of an event occurring across the country?
It is astounding what's happening. And at Real Wealth, at our company, we do have our finger on the pulse of a lot of different markets, because that's what we do. We research where the growth is, where the demographic shift is happening, where there's job growth, and basically where people are going, because that matters to us, because they're going to need houses, right? They're going to need real estate. So we are constantly looking at the markets. And right around mid-March, we went into a bit of a panic to, like, what is going to happen with the real estate market? Because that's our business. And we were wondering if this was going to be another 2009. So we got together with all the teams in cities across the country, got on a Zoom call like this, and said, you know, how are you preparing? And what we decided is, you know what, a lot of people in investment properties, our members at Real Wealth certainly do. How are tenants going to be able to pay the rent if they're not working, if they've lost their job? How is this going to go? So each property manager got on the phone with each tenant, just said, let us know what's going on. And if you are losing your job, here's some resources for you. There's some stimulus coming. Here's how you sign up. Here's some job openings. There was surprisingly a lot of job openings, even as some closed. There was a whole new businesses were created during this time. And of course, Amazon's been booming. So lots of jobs, lots of hiring there. So what we discovered was April rents were paid. And then May rents were paid. And June rents were paid, same as normal. And applications for those rental properties all across the nation, and I'm talking about every single city that we're in, and there's 15 from the northeast to the southeast and just across the country. So what we discovered was there were more rental applications than ever, and high quality applications. So at least in the rental side of things, I think what we saw is more people wanting to move out of apartments, not wanting to be around so many people, and desperately needing a yard, because some of those really fancy apartments that were built over the last few years, well, they're no good if you can't use the amenities, if you can't use the gym or the pool or the common space. What good is it if you're locked in your apartment? So from a rental perspective, it's been booming and rents have not gone down. From a buying and selling real estate perspective, there's less sales. Sales are definitely down because people are not really wanting to move. But when people do put their properties on the market, because there's limited inventory, they do sell very, very quickly, depending on the market.
Now, are you finding this, the issue like I just related with my friend, along a certain category, dollar value of real estate? Does this apply to, let's say, the lower-end type homes? And what is happening at the high-end homes? I mean, one of the big stories here in San Diego, Bill Gates bought T. Boone Pickens' wife's home on the beach for like $48 million. There was a movie star that bought a place in La Jolla for $25 million. So what is happening on the high end? Or is the Bill Gates and movie star story sort of an anomaly?
Well, here's my thoughts on that. And one of the reasons that I'm on a mission and our company, Real Wealth, is on a mission to help people get into hard assets is because of the coronavirus and because of the subsequent shutdown of the economy and all the money that needed to be created to pay people since they couldn't work, and to, buy bonds so that people could still, the liquidity just disappeared. So the Fed just printed trillions of dollars. We know that. We know there were lots of bailouts, and the biggest one being kind of the unlimited rescue of the mortgage industry. So that, which basically comes in the form of liquidity and buying bonds. So what we saw was a massive amount of money creation, which increased the money supply. And generally what that means is that the dollar value declines when more money gets thrown in. You know, it's like, you know, think of a pool. You've got, you know, a pool, you throw more water in and, you know, so we lots more money thrown into the pool of money. And generally that creates inflation because there's lots more dollars chasing the same product. And it's not like we're making a lot new product. If anything, we're making less product. In the housing market, builders just, they were freaking out and maybe some of their construction loans disappeared. So they stopped building and we already had a shortage of homes. So now we're going to even have a more severe crisis in terms of supply. People are staying put. They don't want to move right now. Builders aren't building. So when someone puts their property on the market and you've got record low interest rates today and more money available chasing those few assets, we're actually seeing robust sales and in many cases, prices going up or at least people getting asking price. I just put a house up on the market and it sold within a week at asking price. My daughter just listed hers and it's, you know, already caught interest. So, you know, it just really comes back to supply and demand and something we talked about earlier. Many people think that this is the new normal. We hope not, but that's what people are talking about. And nobody wants to be cooped up inside an apartment where you can't get fresh air or let your kids go out and play. So there's more demand than ever for this, you know, the suburban homes or even homes in the middle of nowhere. We have a subdivision we're building in Montana. And when we first went to build that, it's near Bozeman, it was a little bit of a risk because it's not like a huge job growth area, but it has a great university. And more importantly, there's so much to do. There's incredible skiing, there's incredible fishing, hiking, mountain climbing, all sorts of things to do. And we thought, well, there's probably really a good market that wants a $400,000 home or so with all those amenities that maybe they can work from home. We were right on there because what did we learn from the last couple of months? You know what? People can work from home. A lot of companies are thinking, well, I just saved some money. I don't have to have this office building. People can live from home. And if they can live from home, if they can work from home, they can live anywhere. So our Montana properties it was kind of a gamble. It was kind of a risk. We have a wait list for those homes.
Kathy, will this change the design of homes as we get more to teleworking that perhaps homes now will design like a library, a den, or a study type thing as more and more of this takes place in the future?
You know, what the issue is for us as builders at Real Wealth, we help people get into rental property, but we also build new homes. And people, you've got this divide. You asked earlier, what about people like Bill Gates? Are there people buying on the high end? And whenever you pour $7 trillion or whatever is happening right now in the Fed, it's unlimited. And I don't think they're sharing everything with us. A lot of money being created. Well, a lot of times that money goes towards those who are already wealthy. So a lot of funds were bailed out that maybe shouldn't have been. Anyway, sometimes when this much money, usually when this much money pours in to the market, it tends to create that divide of those, the haves and the haves and have nots, because those who own assets make more money. So we're seeing, now on the positive note, is there has been less friendly lending on the high end, anything over conventional loan amounts, which depends on where you are. In California, those conventional loan amounts are a little bit higher. They tend to be around $700,000 to $750,000 that you can get in conventional lending. But above that, it's been hard to get jumbo loans and jumbo loans. They're more expensive. So we thought maybe we're going to see those prices go down if there's not enough lending. Now, we haven't seen it yet. It's amazing. But I thought, wow, this might be a chance for people to get into a bigger home if the more expensive home prices come down, because they're going to need that space. If people think, well, you know, I kind of like this homeschooling, or, you know, I love being home. And now mom and dad are both home and maybe they both need an office. So for us, we still have to build those homes affordably. So in Carson City, where we're also building, we decided we would have smaller lots, but have three stories. And nobody really wants three stories, but maybe they do want more space. And maybe that third story could be the kids that have to run up and down the stairs or whatever. But we decided to do it that way to cut costs so that people could have the space they want, but not have to pay so much for it. But then, you know, there's the possibility of just going out further. Like I said, we're building in Montana. We're building in Reno. Homes that are $300,000-$400,000, which is only a 3 or 4 hour drive from San Francisco, where the average home price is $1 million. So, you know, we might just see more of that, people realizing I don't need to, and I don't want to live where everybody else lives. I have the ability. We're also building in Costa Rica, where some people are saying, you know, I'm just getting out of this country for now, and I want to go live there, and, you know, where I can have fresh, clean water from our well, and, you know, food we grow on the land, and just be away from everybody. So that's been a popular investment as well.
Kathy, a lot of our clients that we have in California, they are making the decision to leave the state. They want to go to a lower cost of living state, a state that doesn't have taxes. Nevada's popular, Texas, Arizona. And then also they're going to smaller towns. They go, I don't want to live in a big town with these kind of issues going on. Are you seeing that?
Well, we were already seeing that. One of the things I've noticed is that the last 3 months have accelerated patterns that were already underway. There was already an exodus out of California from people who just couldn't afford to retire in California. They are moving to places like Texas, like Florida, like Nevada, where they can pay far less state income tax. Because when you retire, those things make a difference. You know, that to not have to pay a state income tax is a big deal if you're on a fixed income. So we were already seeing the largest growth, the largest demographic shift was heading to the Southeast already. And that's why at Real Wealth, we've been helping investors buy homes in Texas and Atlanta and Florida, and just kind of, you know, I mean, literally $150,000, $200,000 homes that are beautiful, that are really nice to live in, that would be million-dollar homes here. And, you know, we help investors buy those and rent them out, because a lot of people who are moving and leaving California, they are still renters. They may not be able to buy a house, even though they're cheap in these other areas. So we already were following those trends. It was happening. But when you add a lot of online, that was already coming with VR and, you know, the possibility of educating your kids at home with their own private instructor through VR. These are things that have been in the works in Silicon Valley already. And we saw those trends and we thought, we really want to start building homes in areas where people might want to live if they can live remotely. And so I think we're just seeing an acceleration of that now. I do wonder, you know, election years are always pretty nuts, but this one tops the list of chaos at this point.
So when you see this, you know, one of the things that I'm seeing as a result of all of this, I had a client that's getting ready to retire at the end of the year. They're leaving California. They're looking at Vegas, cost of living. But then with all the things that are going on, now they're looking at Reno, preferring to be in a, let's say, a smaller locale, a little bit more rural than some of the bigger cities, just simply because of the social unrest. Are you seeing any of that come into requests that people are giving you?
You know, again, we saw that trend anyway, and thankfully we've got two subdivisions in Reno and one in Carson City that we're building. And at the beginning of this, I thought, oh boy, did we time this bad? You know, we're about to go into a massive housing recession. Now, we went into a recession as a country, but not in housing this time. Housing is maybe the one thing that's not going to be affected this time around, because housing has elevated to one of everyone's highest priorities, the safer at home phrase. You know, people that you don't lose that consciousness overnight. People are able now to go out and they're not really wanting to. There's been a really, I guess, shift in the way that people maybe live. We were all running around, myself included. I was traveling every single week to a different city, speaking at different groups. And I haven't been home in 10 years. I was traveling so much. And I've been home for 3 months now. And I don't know if I want to get on the road again. And I'm not sure I have to, because I can do these Zoom interviews and still speak. Now I can speak to thousands of people instead of traveling to a city where it's a room of a few hundred, and the person who put the event on had to spend all that money to put the event on, and now they don't have to spend anything except for, you know, what it costs to put on Zoom. So I think everything is going to be different. It's just accelerating what was already happening.
And especially if you're heading towards retirement, you're worried about, you know, whether you get COVID, and then on top of that, you worry about social unrest. I don't know. I just think that that's going to be a geographic change that we're going to see in a lot of people. I'm seeing it right now with my clients that are going to another state where it's more affordable, but it's not, Kathy, just going to another state, but going to that other state in a smaller community where the price of housing is so much cheaper.
Yeah, I mean, you're absolutely right about that. Retirees are probably going to rethink things, because if this is quote unquote the new normal, and again, who knows, or if there's a second wave or so forth, maybe you just don't want to be around other people. But yeah, I do think that we will see more of a spreading out, especially now. I said years ago that the next 10 years are going to be going to bring with them the biggest change we've ever seen, because it's just now that technology is really being figured out. I mean, we've got AI now that is figuring out solutions to many of the problems we have. And some of what they're learning is how you can take water out of clouds, how you can, you know, power an entire city with a tiny little solar thing. So we are going to see complete and total change. We might be flying our cars in 10 years. So these are things we were already thinking about at Real Wealth, of like people, if they could live anywhere and they could have water and they could have power and they could have now these compostable toilets, you know, you don't even need a sewer system. Where might people live if they could truly live anywhere? And that is probably more where we're headed. Our Costa Rica property, for example, it's in the middle of nowhere, but it's got rivers and you know, wells, so it's got all this water, solar, can grow your own food, you can fly right onto the property, and you know, it's just a different way, but it has the fastest internet in Costa Rica, you know, so you can get all your work done.
So if, as you look at this after being in the real estate industry, if you and I were to have this conversation 10 years from now, what do you think would be the most significant changes, or what the real estate market might look like, what homes may look like, where people might live? Just sort of take your crystal ball and give it a shot.
Well, what we know happened last time in 2008, 2009, 2010, we know that the Federal Reserve did a lot of stimulus, the QE1, 2, and 3, and just printed trillions of dollars. And then we saw asset values go up. We saw the stock market go up. We saw real estate values go up dramatically. And that's what happens. Asset values go up and cash basically becomes less valuable. So based on what just happened and what seems to be continuing to happen, I actually think we're not even halfway there yet in terms of printing. There's no question that for me that real estate is going to go up in value simply because the dollar is going to go down in value because there's going to be so many dollars out there. So it's inflation. It's not like prices are legitimately going up. It's just that there's more money chasing it. So if you want to protect yourself against inflation, one of the best places you can put your money is in real estate. And that may be why you're seeing some of these billionaires buying real estate and putting their money in real estate, because where are you going to put $56 million, you know, put it in a house on the ocean? That's, you know, that's a good place to put it. And that's what we see a lot along the coast is, you know, these homes that sit empty. I'm not really necessarily in support of that, but I think really wealthy people don't want their money just sitting in a bank or somewhere where, you know, it's not tied to a hard asset. They put it in real estate. I see it all the time. So in 10 years, values could be double from today easily. And that's terrible for people who are going to try to get into the market in 10 years. That's why I'm literally on a mission to help people, you know, take advantage of the low rates today. You can get a loan, buy your first house for 3% down. And if you're able to work somewhere else, if you've just found out that you can work remotely, do it. You know, go find a place, get your 3% down loan. Nobody says you have to live there forever. You have to live there at least a year. Then you can rent it out later. So do it. You know, if you have the opportunity to work remotely, get into assets today, because I think it's going to be even worse in 10 years. It's going to be very difficult for people to get in.
You know, it's absolutely amazing. You take some of the richest people in the world, and I'm talking about Jeff Bezos and Bill Gates. It's amazing. Bezos is putting a ton of his own money in real estate. Michael Dell putting a ton of his money in real estate. Most of the billionaires I know and read about are heavily invested in real estate, and number one wealthiest guy in the world, Jeff Bezos, is a good example. He's got tons of real estate.
Yeah, it's because the system is not, it's not a fair system. It's really not when we can just print money out of thin air. The way that that affects the population is it's a silent tax, basically, and that silent tax is inflation. So for the average person or for someone who's already struggling, a retiree, it's difficult. That's why, like, get gold, get real estate. There's affordable real estate. I mean, $100,000 homes we're still buying in some of these growing areas. So it's something really anyone can do. And with your first home, you know, my daughter bought her first home. Of course, I'm her mother and I'm all about real estate, but she was 23 and she bought that home in Chico for $250,000. She's got it on the market today for $400,000. That's 18 months later.
Yeah. We have a young millennial that works for us, and she just bought a condominium that she was able to qualify because of interest rates and the ability to put so much down. And she's now a real estate owner. She's getting tax deductions for that, but she has the potential for appreciation. So, well, listen, Kathy, as we close, if our listeners would like to find out more about the work that you do at Real Wealth, how could they do so?
Well, just go to realwealth.com. That's real like real estate and wealth like your money. And we have, it's free to join. And then we just have a tremendous amount of education, how to get tax benefits from real estate, how to, you know, manage a property manager, which markets are booming but still affordable, where there's strong rental demand, list of property managers and resources. So all kinds of stuff there. It's free. Just go to realwealth.com.
All right. Well, listen, Kathy, stay safe and come back and talk again.
All right. Thank you so much for having me.
You betcha. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
The Financial Sense News Hour is for informational and educational purposes only and should not be considered as a solicitation or offer to purchase or sell any securities. The investments, investment strategies, and investment philosophies discussed or presented on the News Hour each involve their own unique risk factors, which are not discussed on the show. Responses to listener inquiries are based on the personal opinions of the Financial Sense staff and do not take into account listener suitability, objectives, or risk tolerance. Financial Sense News Hour and its parent company shall not be liable for any financial losses that result from investing in any companies mentioned in Financial Sense or arising out of the use of any material on the News Hour. Please be advised that you invest at your own risk.